God's on the move. Things are happening. Amen. And we are going to continue from last week talking about breaking the power of curses in our life. Make sure some of these are turned off. Very good. Okay. You know, obviously in the Bible we see there's blessings and cursings. We want to be on the blessing side. I'm going to stand over here, right? I'm just kind of like, There's blessings and cursings, and we see in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it talks about both. It talks about the blessings, and blessings and cursings are both vehicles of supernatural power. Blessings are a supernatural power for good, and God blesses us. That means He empowers us to succeed. Curses are a supernatural power for us to fail. And sometimes we can open doors up. I don't believe in like a, you know, the enemy. There's like something around every corner. I remember I was in churches before, and it seems like everything was a devil. You know, there's a devil here and there's a devil there. Yes, the enemy can play a part in that, and we want to be aware of that. But then on the other hand, we kind of do dumb things, right? You do dumb things, and you get. You get dumb prizes. So I always tell the girls, kids at home, I'm like, well, if you don't want dumb prizes, don't do dumb stuff. Right? And then people, well, the devil's been doing this. Well, if you didn't do dumb things, then again, those things probably wouldn't come upon you. And the Bible does talk about, it doesn't use in that vernacular, right? The Bible doesn't come out and say you do dumb things, you get dumb things, but it means that if you do disobey, some things will happen. And so, you know, I talked about last week a little bit about, you know, I had curses in my family. Sometimes things are, you do have generational curses. And that means that there are sometimes, we can call it learned behavior. There's things that come through, you know, your family or that has been there and you need to break those things. Again, I remember, I said this before, pretty much every person in my family has had, you know, one side, they've been married at least three times. The other side, everybody's been divorced at least once. Those who didn't wanted to be divorced. And again, if you have experienced that, that's no condemnation. But the point is, it's like this, I need to break that off my life. And I could see trends that in my life and my thinking, because of being in that environment, that the devil will come and say, that's natural. See, that could be a curse, right? Now, just because you're born again, it doesn't mean that you don't struggle with things. Or some people may struggle with things. Or they've had things, because we'll look at Romans chapter 12 here. But the only thing that Romans 12 doesn't discuss, in fact, let's go there, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And you got to remember one thing. All of the New Testament, I mean, minus the Gospels, because the Gospels are an account of Jesus walking the earth during the Old Covenant. So we see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's old. Jesus is operating under the Old Testament. But once we get past into the book of Acts on, all of these letters are written to Christians. They are not written to unbelievers. And yes, those of us who are born again and saved, you know the Bible talks about raining on the just and the unjust. We still are going to have problems. There's still going to be things come up. Even if we're born again, even if we're saved, we're still going to see attacks in our life. We're still going to see things in our finances. There's things that can come up. It doesn't mean we're not saved. It doesn't mean we're not walking in faith. It doesn't mean we don't love God. It just means that if Jesus had issues and problems and people coming against him and devils trying to hinder him, what makes you think you won't experience those things? And again, sometimes we see on TV that it's just going to be the name it, claim it, blah it, grab it. I'm going to confess everything and everything's going to be wonderful, hunky-dory. And we need to keep our confession. We need to keep our mouth in conjunction with the Word of God. But the devil doesn't like what we do. And he's going to try to throw hindrances. He's going to try to throw things your way. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, again, Paul is writing this. I believe Paul wrote it. Paul was writing this to those in Rome. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, here we go, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Apostle Paul is telling these people who are believers, you got to keep your body under control. And he says it's your reasonable service. He didn't say you're doing a really great job. This is wonderful. He's saying this is your reasonable service. And then verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but what be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So the Apostle Paul here is saying there's two things that you need to get yourself under control. First of all, your body. And second of all, your thinking. Now, a lot of people, they didn't grow up in a Christian home. Well, let's just say this. When I grew up in a home, we just didn't have the revelation on certain things. And, you know, sometimes that's not, you know, we don't need to blame people. Maybe, you know, you've grown up and you didn't grow up in a Christian home or there were some issues going on and things like that too. So, you know, along with some of those things, you're going to have thinking and behaviors that you picked up from people around you, right? Family members. You can be born again. I remember when I got rededicated to God, Ada and I just got married back in 96, and we got married and I decided, you know, I need to rededicate myself back to God, and I want to, you know, do everything. You know that it was... Probably, we got married in August. It was probably about like October, a couple of months, we were kind of going around different churches and we kind of found the one that we went to, Rhema Church. And you know, right when I rededicated myself back to God, I still looked the same. I still had the same thinking, right? I still looked in the mirror and went, right? But we think that just because we get born again, our spirit man's born again. The Apostle Paul doesn't address the spirit man. He addresses your thinking and keeping your flesh under control. Those are the two things he tells the believers at Rome you need to control. You need to get, why? Because we need to control our body and we need to control our thinking because what? Whatever we think, that's what we do. And even though, again, we are born again, we can still have a cursed mentality, a cursed behavior, and there's things that can still come against us because, you know, how many people are in a religious mindset that when affliction comes or anything else, what do? They side up with the curse. What is under the curse? We see in Deuteronomy chapter 28, you can read that on your own, but the curse is, and Brother Hagin has a great book, it is redeemed from the poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. It's a great book. Those are the three things under the curse, right? Spiritual death is obviously you're not born again, you're not saved. All of these other. So those are things that we can see as a curse. So you know, again, too many people. Well, I'm born again and I'm saved and I can't believe this is happening. Well. You know, if you're siding with the devil and everything that comes your way, right? Well, I'm just never, you know, I remember my family, you know, nobody was prosperous. Again, just because I grew up in a you know, middle-class home and everything else too, and it was like, I didn't know that we weren't like dirt poor. Wasn't, you know, we weren't wearing gunny sacks or anything like that. But it was like, you know, we just had a modest, upbringing. And you know, the cursed mentality was, I thought was, this is probably the way I'm going to end up. See? And it doesn't mean that necessarily that, you know, That was bad. But the problem was, see, when we lived in, when we live at a certain level, we think that's where we're going to stay. And we're not going to go anywhere else, right? I mean, let's just face it. You know, sometimes here in America, we think, okay, is this really all, I mean, it doesn't look like it's going to get any better. And we could have a cursed mentality life. Why? Because the enemy and the devil will come along. Let me just say this. Anytime you hear words in dialogue, there's a spirit working on you. Right? And you, there's a difference between an evil spirit trying to come against you and your flesh. The Bible talks about two different things. It talks about your flesh. That's your desire, right? Adrian has just been buying these pickles at night, and I have a flesh problem at pickles. I'm getting these pickles, right? I don't know what it is. They're laced with something illegal. I know it is. Because I open the babies up, and I eat one, and I'm like, half the jar is gone. I'm like, my flesh, right? It's just nothing's there. I don't hear anything. Like, you got to go down. You need to eat these pickles. It's just like, I'm just like, oh, I'm hungry. I feel compelled to the fridge, and all of a sudden it's like, I can't put them down, right? That's my flesh, right? Okay? You know, I walk into Texas Roadhouse, my flesh, I got to put it down, right? You know, I don't want the small steak, I want the big steak, you know? But that's your body's telling you. Now, then you have evil spirits that are telling you, giving you dialogue that is not in line with the Word of God. You know there's a spirit at work. And we don't need to act like they don't exist, right? Too many people are in fear. And I don't want to talk about the devil, and I don't want to talk about these things. Well, we need to define these things and know there's the enemy is trying to put a curse on you. And the curse means just empowered to fail. That's it. That's all. We don't need to get all weird with these terms. They are biblical terms. But blessing just means, again, empowered to prosper. And curse means empowered to fail. So when I grew up, there was no thought process about prosperity or you know, going beyond. And again, that the people, you know, that I was around when I grew up, I'm not saying that they're bad or anything. But what it means was I was limited because of Romans 12, verse 2. My thinking. Or you say, well, you'll never amount to this. You'll never do this. You know, you'll never accomplish that. Oh, look at this situation. Look at that situation. So Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 13, it talks about the benefits of the blessings, right? And really what is the benefit of the blessings just means, it just simply means that you're obeying God. You're doing what he told you to. You're living righteous. I was just thinking about this today. I was kind of meditating on things. I'm thinking, you know, and Gary was talking about going to Bible college and stuff, and I'm thinking, you know, how much more I've learned since then and how much more, you know, I've gained. And I thought, you know, the difference between, and I listened to, and even just in our walk with God, we can be limited just because we're not open to truth. You know how many people that I'm around or listen to that they are so religiously, you know, they're not open to anything. Right, they think that we as spirit-filled people were just emotional. Emotional? That's the term you want to put on us, right? No, that's an excuse for, I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. This is really what that means. And I want to live in a limited state of experiencing God. The curses, again, can be financial, physical, relational, emotional damage that's coming through or currently in your life. And often, it is either not meditating on the word or, you know, sometimes there's disobedience. We open ourselves up to things. John chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. We read this last week, but I definitely want to read this again. This is very good. John chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man that was blind from his birth. And he heals the man. Now, there, I want to stop here for a moment. The disciples, because I got some other scriptures I want to read tonight. The disciples asked him in verse 3, who sinned, this man or his parents? Because, again, Old Covenant, Jewish-Hebrew thought processes, if somebody's dealing with something or they're involved in that, it's because of their sin involved, right? What are they referring to? Deuteronomy chapter 28. That was a consensus. There was something involved where they opened themselves up. And what does Jesus say? He said neither. Right? So the understanding of that time was this is a curse. And now he says this at this time, but look at what he says later. Look at what he said. He comes back and he addresses this later. So he says neither. Jesus answered, neither is this man sinned or his parents, but the works of God should be manifest in him. Now, again, religious folks will say, well, he's blind to bring God glory. No, God doesn't get glory in somebody being blind or broke or sick or mentally ill. God does, but what God gets glory out of is the end result. Him healing people. Him delivering people. All these religious, I'm this condition because I'm, you know, God wants me this way, or I'm here to honor God, or God's humbling me. No, God, we humble ourselves. That's something that we do, right? Humble ourselves, submit to God. We're going to humble ourselves. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy there. Then he goes on. He says, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is the day and the night comes, and no man can work. Then I want you to skip down here to, and then he washed him, and he presented that, he washed his eyes, and then what happened after that? He could see. John chapter 5, verse 7. Just a few pages. This is the pool of Bethesda. And I laugh about this because some of the religious folks today, anything supernatural, they freak out. And guess what? They had an angel that came down and stirred the waters back in that day. So there were supernatural things happening, before Jesus showed up on the scene. There were supernatural things that happened in the Old Testament. So long story short, this man is crippled. He's having some issues. And he says, I don't have anybody to put me in this pool. And Jesus comes along. And in verse 11, he heals. He tells him to stand up. Verse 8, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. The man walks. It's on the Sabbath day. People are, the religious folks are just flipping out. Then verse 14, Jesus loops back and he says, now that you're well, here we go. So stop sinning or something even worse may happen to you. So Jesus heals this man. Then he loops back and he says, you know what? You need to stop sinning. Because what's he referring to again? Deuteronomy chapter 28. Curse is going to come upon you for what? Just disobedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 14 to the rest of the chapter. It's called the curses. Well, but we're born again today, and these things don't happen to us. Yeah, we're blessed because we are born again. We're a child of God, but we can still open doors up. Apostle Paul discusses this. We all throughout the New Testament. Again, remember, the New Testament is written to believers. We even look at Galatians. Let's just go there, Galatians chapter 3. I always kind of marvel at the people who always have the once saved, always saved mentality, well, I'm born again so I can live any way that I want to. That's not true at all. That's definitely not true at all. We look here, Galatians chapter 3. And we'll just go to 13. Christ has purchased our freedom, redeemed us from the what? The curse or the doom of the law. And it is condemnation by himself becoming a curse for us, for it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14, to the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessings or promise to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that through faith might all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus became the curse for us, and then all of the blessings that are in Deuteronomy chapter 20, chapter 28, verse 1 through 14, that belong to Abraham, Jesus now says, all of those blessings now belong to you because of the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. So even though I'm a dirty Gentile, according to the Old Testament and the Hebrews back then, I'm an unclean person. I am now clean. I am now redeemed. I am now am no longer under the curse of the law, but I can have the blessings there. Now let's look over on Galatians chapter 5. Verse 14, for the law, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, that you shall love the neighbor as yourself. Verse 16, this I say then, Paul is talking to the people at Galatia, walk in the Spirit, and here we go, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Remember we just talked about that we are now redeemed because of faith? Faith is an action word. Faith is not a mental assent to anything, right? Well, I have faith, right? I have faith that the sun's going to come out, right? But I don't have any action. That doesn't require any action on me, right? I believe birds are going to, you know, we're going to have, birds in the spring, and they're going to sing, and the snow's going to come at some point, and that's going to melt away, and that requires no action on my part because it's just a mental assent. I just know that from experience. It requires no faith of me. But we see here that we walk in the Spirit and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 18. But if you're led of the Spirit and not under the law, and then he goes into talking about the works of the flesh. Why is it so important that the Apostle Paul is talking about the works of the flesh and then later he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit when he's writing to Christians? Because a lot of these people came out, and even today, a lot of Christians, they come out of heathen environments, right? And guess what? A lot of these people dealt with the works of the flesh. And then we see down here in verse 21, he gets down to the end, and he says, those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why is that important? Because what? Your actions do not reflect your faith. But then verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. You know, being Christian is not real easy work to walk with God. It's not. Right? I just was watching this video. This guy was on a bus or something, and he was preaching to somebody, and the guy just turned around and just hit him in the mouth. That spirit antichrist just came out, right? You know, it's really interesting. I shared this with Adrian earlier. Our sweeper broke today. That was nice. Yeah, it was awesome. So, but I had to get it back, so, you know, we can get the sweeper going again, right? We got to make sure that's available because, you know, we got to keep people busy around our house, you know, cleaning and stuff. But I was driving over, I'm in a truck and I'm driving along and I'm doing this and I'm going to, you know, have it dropped off and everything. And I'm listening to a teacher on these things that he's not talking about exactly the thing, but talking about, you know, being delivered from demonic, oppression and everything. And it's Incredible. I never had this happen to my phone or anything, but while I'm listening to it, my phone shuts down and it erases my history. Isn't that amazing? Like, I've had stuff like that happen to me. Just the devil does not want you to understand this or have a revelation of this, right? You know? I never have technical issues when I'm watching like sports or anything. You ever notice that too? But when I'm getting into, and by the way, I'll pull it back up and I'll listen to it again, you know. And I was listening to this guy, this preacher. He has since gone, but his minister, he's talking about deliverance. And he said, I had this message, and back then he was talking about tapes. Of course, you remember those little things about this big, you know, and they had the two little wheels and everything too. Maybe we'll be able to find one in a museum somewhere here. But cassette tape. So you're talking about cassette tapes. I'm like, I haven't heard of this. Anyway, it just kind of took me back. I kind of laughed. I thought that was funny. But cassette tape, he said, the lady was listening to that, his message about, you know, being delivered and all, you know, from demonic spirits and things like that and oppressive spirits. And this lady was dealing with things. And she said, got to the point where to say a prayer and the tape got mangled and destroyed right at that point, and it wouldn't work. And so this lady had given her this message, and they were relaying this. The preacher was relaying this because these ladies were telling him later. And she says, well, I was going to pray the prayer, but the tape got chewed up and I didn't have it. And she says, well, maybe we can go send for another one. She goes, nope, I got it written down right here. So you know what? It doesn't matter. We're going to defeat the devil, right? We're going to have victory over these things. And the devil just does not want, because the biggest lie, one of the biggest lies that the enemy wants you to think, and many people think, that the devil doesn't exist. That he doesn't exist, and everything's you, and everything, right? You know what's so fascinating, too, that I always think is very interesting? You look at every other religion, and God is always something different. But you know, the devil never changes in any other religion. I was just thinking about that. I thought, you know, it's interesting how the perspective of God is perverted throughout every religion. It's always, you know, God is always twisted in something weird. But nobody ever changes the image of the devil. You ever notice that? He's just always, never gets twisted or distorted of any kind. I always think that's really weird. I think that's very strange that all the false religions and everything else too, his image isn't really, either he's doesn't really exist, or we can, you know, get rid of him by putting some smelly thing out, or, you know, we'll put this food out, or garlic, you know. So that's all these evil spirits. It's always these silly things that we never really any, you know. It was really interesting. I was watching and years ago when I was younger, was watching something I shouldn't have been watching. I'll just say that when I was a teenager. I watched a lot of garbage when I was a teenager, but I remember watching a certain quote horror movie, and they were in this scene, and supposedly they were going to, there was these, you know, kind of poltergeist spirits going on and everything, and they said, don't use the name of Jesus. I'm like, there it is. You know? They don't want the name of Jesus invoked at all. And that's where the power is at. But we are free from curses. Amen? Yes. We do not have to live under a curse. A curse can be many things. It can be, like I mentioned earlier, your mentality. Well, your thought process is, well, I'm never going to prosper beyond this. I'm never going to have this. I'm never going to have that. Right? Never going to have children. Never going to have, you know, that's a curse in itself under the law. Infertility, poverty, sickness, disease. Just read that. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and some of that stuff. It's pretty gross and pretty graphic. I'll just say this. And then, by the way, it says, if you disobey then all of these things, all of the diseases and the plagues that were upon Egypt will come upon you. And then also those who are not even written in this book yet. Basically, like all of the other garbage that the devil makes up, it's going to come on you that hasn't even been invented yet. No thanks. I think it's good to look at these things, and we don't want to meditate on negative all the time, but it's good to look at sometimes the things you don't want. Right? To understand, I don't want to go down that path, right? I've got some friends of mine in high school years ago, and we grew up together, and you look back, and I just was, Adrian and I were with some friends of ours, and I was with a friend of mine that I hung out with in high school, and we were talking about, you know, hey, how is this person doing? And it was like, ooh, how's this person doing? And they were like, whoa, okay, I don't want to be that person, right? And you really look at it and you walk, you know what? Walking with God is a real blessing. And, you know, you think about it's downplayed like we're just crazy, wacko, you know, gullible, ignorant people that follow God. It's like, nah. There is definite blessings. Hosea 4:6 says, I'll read this, my people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. The devil does not want you to know his ways, right? He wants to keep you ignorant, stupid, busted, and disgusted. He does not want you to know his ways, right? Throughout the years, I can always tell the cycles and the way that the enemy works, tries to come against me, and that's where, again, the Bible talks about be wise as a serpent and gentle as doves. We can begin to see these things, right? The devil always likes to apply pressure right before the breakthrough is going to come. And you know what? He'll always send those friends. I remember, you know, I was always try to send people to pull you back. I remember Adrian and I just got married, and, you know, I wasn't playing in bands anymore and everything. And then all of a sudden, I start getting these calls and these people from all the woodwork. Hey, why don't you come do this? Hey, why don't you come do that? I was like, I know your drug problems. I know you people have massive addiction problems and every other thing. And it's like, no thanks. I know what this is about. I'm not going down this road. And the devil will try to pull you back into that cursed life. And we don't have to do that. So again, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have what? Rejected knowledge. I will also reject you, and you, and thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that you have forgotten the law of your God, and I will also forget your children. I remember, you know, so again, it's interesting, and the Bible also talks about those who are involved in witchcraft and sorcery and occultism, that you can also bring a curse onto your children to the second and third generation, right? But it can be broken. I didn't write the Bible. Don't get mad at me. I'm just saying that, you know, I look at my family and different things in the past, and I had to break some things off of me that the enemy was trying to bring my way. Brother Hagin, you know, Kenneth Hagin had pastored about 11 years. And then from there, the Lord had called him to go on the road, ministry. He was, you know, back then it was evangelist, but he was actually operating in the office of a prophet and a teacher. And so, you know, back then, because I remember even when I was a kid, it was like you're either pastor or a missionary or an evangelist. That was it, you know. I mean, the evangelist just went around and was like an itinerant minister, or as a pastor, and then, you know, a missionary. So that was kind of it. There was no apostles. There was no prophets. I mean, nobody ever talked about those things. But he was a pastor for about 11 years, approximately. The Lord called him to, go on the road. And his, you ever listen to Brother Hagin, his message is very heavily into faith. Obviously, around Mark 11th chapter, some people thought he wrote that. It's like, no. He just quoted it so much that people thought it was his. Well, anyway, he left the minute he had left pastoring, went on the road. He and Miss Aretha was his wife, you know, started having financial problems, and And, you know, the devil come along and, you know, trying to discourage him and everything else too. So there was a point where they had had somebody that, because, you know, you're traveling and doing different things. And I think somebody had asked him if he would be interested in, you know, coming off the road and pastoring the church. Well, yeah, sounds like a good idea. You know, what they were going to offer, you know, be able to get out of the financial pinch they were in. And it sounds great. Well, he was sitting there. And he was preaching, and he said it just felt like a struggle, but he said they were in a parsonage, talking with the pastor and everything, and all of a sudden his heart started racing, and he started having like heart attack symptoms. And he knew instantly that he was disobeying God, right? Now, wait a minute here. Whoa. Brother Hagin's saved, right? I mean, he's got like 2/3 of the New Testament memorized. He's spirit-filled. I mean, he loves God. He's had all these visitations from the Lord. I mean, come on, you know. He should be okay, right? And the Lord told him, no, you disobeyed me, and you're doing things your way, and I told you, and you're in disobedience. So he said, oop, I know what to do right then and there. I got to repent. I'm sorry. And instantly everything left him, right? But we get over in the doctrine and say, well, the Lord wanted him and wanted to take him and, you know, and this and that and everything else too. See, anytime we're in disobedience, it doesn't matter whether we're saved or not, we could open ourselves up to the enemy, right? And so, but obviously, Brother Hagin repented, turned around, all the symptoms left, and of course, we know that he lived a long life, and God used him mightily. Now, Brother Hagin knew, and the Lord had, the Lord appeared to him and told him his ministry, right? So he knew what he was supposed to do. This wasn't like, kind of like, well, I'm trying to be led by the Spirit, I'm trying to figure things out. He had a very distinct encounter with the Lord over his calling. So again, sometimes people can have curses in their lives through, again, occultic activity, you know. Sometimes we're opening, some people have opened themselves up to, and I've prayed for people before and talked to them about things and said, you've been in any kind of occultic activity, you know, like palm reading, psychic, you know. I always laugh at remember the psychics in the 90s, you know, and then they went bankrupt. It's like, wait a minute, don't you think you would have saw that, you know? I thought you would have seen this coming, right? Right? But we know occultic, you know, anytime we're in occultic, like things like, you know, psychics and all of these occultic activities, the Bible refers to them as they're actually speaking with familiar spirits. And what they are, they're just basically demons that have been following people and studied people. Right? And they're not talking with that person at all. It's just that they're lying, deceiving spirits. They're trying to make people think that they're talking to Uncle Bob that's been dead for 10 years, and they're not. They're talking to a devil, and the Bible refers to it as a familiar spirit. New Age, you can get into New Age and all these crystals and all of these things, right? Any other occultic activity that can open you up to things. We got all these people too. They have a mixture of Christianity, occultism, New Age, every other belief. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. That's it. It's just Jesus. Jesus is the way, right? We have all of these things, and anything that comes against the Word of God, forget it when it comes to a belief system. You know, people, also I will say this, people want to be delivered from spirits. Adrian and I have prayed for people before, and we prayed, and it's like, what's going on? We're just not able to do it. And you know, we prayed for this person before, and they just, and so I do it every time. I'm like, do you want to be delivered or not? Because I pray for people, and they don't want to be delivered. They like this. And I couldn't figure out what's going on the inside. I'm like, oh, well, they do like this. People are weird. I don't know. They like this stuff. Some people don't want to be delivered. They want to live under this oppression. They want this garbage in their life. And it's something that, again, not every person wants to be delivered. But there's seven blessings through Deuteronomy chapter 28 that we can experience as a blessing. Okay? One is going to be, we can be, have experience exaltation, meaning we can be lifted up. We are no longer living under oppression. I think a lot of people that have oppressive, massive depression are dealing with spirits that are harassing people. You know? Reproductiveness. I believe often there is a spirit involved with people who have infertility issues. Because that tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's one of the issues under the curse, is infertility, right? I think sometimes, can I just say something too? Sometimes, and I've run into this before too, and I kind of pray, you know, over some things. Sometimes we don't need to pray for sickness. Sometimes there's a spirit involved that is masking it. And we need to deal with this. There's a spiritual issue going on in people's lives. So the reason I'm preaching this today is because of this. You know, if we're dealing with things in our lives, you know, be open to ask the Lord, what is going on in my life? Is this a sickness? Is this a disease? Is this a spiritual element? Some demonic force that's trying to come against me? What is it? How do I need to pray? Health, if we're dealing with health issues often, right? A lot of people. Now, it's interesting because Brother Hagin, I think he was able to pray for a lot of cancers. And there's just, the Lord will, especially during the healing revival in the 40s, there would be certain ministers that were just anointed to pray for different diseases. And Brother Hagin often, he would pray for people. He'd pray for disease and healing, but also, too, he would deal with spirits involved, too, that are trying to hinder people. Prosperity or success, right? I mentioned that earlier. You know, sometimes it's a thought process that, you know what, I grew up poor. This is my mentality. This is always going to be my family. Everybody's going to be poor. Everybody's going to be, that doesn't have to be that way. Sometimes there are things that are hindering us that we need to have doors open for us. God can give us, we see that God can give us, you know, there with Jesus when he went to the temple, when he was at 12, and then what does it say? That he, there later in the book of Luke chapter 4, it says that he had favor with what? God and with man. I believe the demonic realm can hinder people from prosperity. They can hinder people from having favor. They can hinder us often. Now, sometimes it's just, some people are just lazy, right? It's just they're not willing to work. But sometimes if you feel like you're doing everything you can do and you're doing everything possible, sometimes it's just we need to pray through some things and there be some hindrances in your life, right? There just may be some hindrances of people, people too. But often the devil will cause things to happen, right? The last thing that the devil wants is to see anybody, the spirit-filled, that loves God, that wants to give, have money into their hands. That is a big no-no. The enemy does not want to. Another thing that we see in Deuteronomy chapter 28 is victory. We can have victory. Victory. We can be winners and not losers. There's a couple things. Actually, one thing I hate is sin. I hate sin. I don't like the enemy. Another thing I don't like to lose. I mean, how many don't like to lose in here, right? I mean, I don't like. Now, you and I are playing a game, and we're having fun. I don't care about that. But one thing is, too, is God did not make us losers. We can have victory. I see it in the Word, right? one of the things in Deuteronomy chapter 28 is what we can be the head and not the tail. That means you can be in charge. Right? We don't have to be enslaved anymore all the time, right? We don't have to be enslaved all the time. Somebody telling us what to do all the time. We have, you know, we can be the authority, the head, not the tail. What does the head do? The Bible says we can be the head, not the tail. Well, the head, what does it do? It calls the shots. It decides what to do. It leads. It heads. It gives direction. It leads. What does the tail do? It just follows with whatever the head does. And we can be above. That means we're not beneath. We can have strength. We can have, you know, have influence. We can have these things. So again, just because you may experience something in life, it doesn't mean, on the other hand, it necessarily a curse, right? Sometimes we just go through things. Sometimes we go through seasons. Adrian and I went to Bible college, you know, and, you know, when you're in college or you're studying things, sometimes you don't have a lot of money. Because you're sacrificing, right? I guess, well, I just rebuked this devil. You know what? Sometimes you got to go through some things. Sometimes you're going to experience things in life. Sometimes, you know, you start at the bottom and you work up, and you can build some things. So it doesn't necessarily mean you're sometimes in stages in life. It doesn't mean that, again, it's going to be like that forever. And sometimes we do go through things, but other times it's just there is a force that's coming against us to try to discourage and destroy us. The Bible says what there in John 10:10? Jesus delineates himself from the enemy. He says, I have come to have more, that you have life and more abundantly, right? It just doesn't mean I don't have to scrape by, but it means this. Every area, definition of living a blessed life, it's every area of my life is God is touched. My body, my finances, my family, every area. But the thief comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Curses. What do curses? We'll close here in just a moment, but curses means what? Humiliation. There's no honor. The devil is all about bringing shame to people, trying to belittle people, you know, embarrass, humiliate, bring shame. Again, barrenness, we talked about that. Sickness of every kind, poverty or failure, defeat, helplessness. They're just, you know, people, they just feel helpless all the time, right? Hopelessness. Again, that's not a flesh problem. That's often a spirit that's trying to come against you, to destroy you, to get you to commit suicide, to be just absolutely helpless. And then also beneath, right? You're the tail. You're not the head. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Most Christians and most people quote it, you know, like, I'm just going to resist the devil and he's going to flee from me. Wrong. Again, this goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I sound like a broken record. Deuteronomy chapter 28. It says, first of all, we need to submit to God. In fact, let's just go there to Deuteronomy chapter 28, the very first part. Deuteronomy chapter 28, the very first part that Moses is writing here. What's it say? And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken and hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and what to do all of his commandments, which I have commanded you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. What is he saying here? You got to do it. You know, if you're going to listen to God and you're going to hear him and you're going to do what he tells you to, you're going to be set above everybody else. What's it say over here in James? James is parroting or basically regurgitating what Deuteronomy chapter 28 says. It says what? Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. What is submit yourselves therefore to God? It means do what he says. Hear what he has to say and do what he has. Do what he told you to do. When you're kids, you know, you want them to submit. Right? You just need to submit to what I'm doing. What's it mean? That means when I tell you to do something, just do it. I've had that in our house sometimes. Sometimes we have dealt with is like, we want this big, long dissertation explanation thing. And it's like, we're learning how to drive. And so sometimes I'll say, stop. Then I go, stop! Like that. Well, Dad, you didn't have to say, wait a minute here. Okay, this is a timing thing. Like, I don't need you to stop like in 30 seconds. I need to stop now. Right? And this is where submit comes in. You don't need a big explanation. Like too many Christians, we need a big explanation all the time. Sometimes God just says, stop, because you're running off the rails here, right? And then once we're done, I say, you know what? Okay, I'm not trying to get on you, okay? But I don't really need a big bill from a body shop right now. You know what I'm saying? I just need you to stop. You don't need to get pulled over for speeding. I need you to go to the speed limit. And I'm trying to get it through, you know, because we're learning how to drive now. Just trust me. Just trust me, because if something happens, there's things you just don't really want to deal with right now, right? We don't need to lose our license. We don't need to get caught speeding. We can go through all those litmus tests, but just submitting just means, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I got to trust God, because he knows. Like for myself, you know, we have a different perspective, right? The kids are learning how to drive, and so we have a different perspective, right? All they knew is they put the key in the car and they mash the gas, and it's fun to do. Dad's thinking about insurance. Filling it up with gas, you know. The other day we were out driving, and what did I do? I the tires were low. I filled up the fluids. I washed the car. I went through all the car and was doing all this other stuff. And what did they do? They just put the key in. It's like, yay! So we don't have the same perspective here, right? And then we just, you know, got our license or the tags renewed for it and all these other things. So our perspective's different. Number one, I don't want them to get in trouble and get hurt and to, you know, experience something traumatic, and we don't need that. We don't, and all the costs and everything too. I want them to have fun and have a good experience, but on the other hand. So again, that comes back to submit to God. Sometimes we're not going to we're not going to understand everything, but that's part of having faith too. You know, he can see things down the road that we have no idea. And sometimes there's these forces that are trying to come against us to bring us under a curse. And sometimes we may not even understand that, you know, we kind of have a, and really what a curse mentality is just Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It just means our mind is not lining up with the Word of God. And we're listening to outside voices that are not lining up with the Word, right? And when we're talking about evil spirits coming and, you know, these, we don't have to go, ooh. Oh, this is all scary stuff. This is all scary stuff. It just means, you know, if the devil came and he tempted Jesus in Luke chapter 4 in the wilderness, right? And he's, what makes you think we're not going to deal with this too? And we just need to know how to deal with it. And that is submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from us, right? Because, you know, the devil is a master. He's a master legal mind. He knows when he has a legal right to run you over because you've opened the door for him to do what he wants to. But guess what? He knows that if we submit to God and resist him and he'll flee, he knows he doesn't have an inroad to us. Oh, but when he does, he'll jump on it. Because there's you can tell the two differences between the Holy Spirit, the Lord, and the devil. The Holy Spirit that Jesus talks about, he's our comforter, our guide, our intercessor. Yeah, he leads us, and he gently guides us into truths. He'll lead us into truths. He's very gentle. He's very loving. Now, there are times the Lord spoke to me and like, hey, you got to do this. You know, there's something I need to do or something, you know, happened. But the devil always push, drive, you know, try to shove you into things and manipulate you and try to run over you and try to drown your voice out and everything. You know, that's the enemy coming against you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't this great? Read that again. If we confess our sins, it's not a big deal, right? We can just go to God, get it taken care of, get this thing off of, and move on. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If we miss the mark, repent, get up, and move on. And the devil is going to, try to come back and condemn you for something that you did. But he's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, when we're talking about, it just means when we're talking about tonight about the curses and the enemy coming against us, it doesn't, I don't, because I don't believe that if you're born again and your spirit, I mean, if you're born again and you have God living on the inside of you, I don't believe that you can be demon possessed. I don't believe that, okay? But what I do believe and I see in Scripture, and it's often Jesus said that all those who were, they said demon possessed. One translation, other things, refers to that as who the devil has been harassing. That's where I believe a lot of Christians are dealing with because they're being harassed. The enemy is harassing. They're lying to people, and or there's things that he's attacked Christians on that we need to take care of. And all it is, and it goes. It goes back to being led by the Spirit. I really believe that. Because there's been times where I've prayed about things and all of a sudden on the inside I'm like, there's a spirit here at work. And you need to deal with it. Now, I don't have control over people's wills. People make their own choice, right? I remember a friend of mine passed away here a few years ago, but he was an associate pastor of a church that I went to. I've had but he was just a great guy. And in fact, when we went to Rhema, him and his new wife were like the first ones to, you know, buy us their house because they went to Rhema too. But his wife just came home and said, hey, I don't love you anymore. I thought I'm going to be a lesbian. I'm out of here. And, you know, there's just some things in life we can't control other people. You know, and it's definitely a demonic attack. But again, we just don't have the authority over other people. You know, because it doesn't say submit. It doesn't say submit yourselves to God for other people. But James is saying you submit yourself. What's it say? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It doesn't say submit yourself for somebody else. And then resist the devil for them, and then he'll flee from them. Now, we can pray for people, and the enemy can leave them. But again, they've got to want that. You know how many times Jesus in the Gospels would say something like, you know, what do you want me to do? You know, often people needed to tell Jesus what they wanted. A number of occasions he'd do that. Right? What do you want? In fact, one woman, he'd say, I'm not going to help you today. I'm not going to help you today. And she persisted, and then finally, what'd he do? Healed her. Because she was persistent. Oh, That thing called personal responsibility. Oh, that dirty phrase, right? We can pray for people and get them delivered. But you know, what's really even better is we, you know, get set free ourselves and help other people to get set free. Father, we thank you so much. Jesus, thank you. We are delivered from death, hell, and the grave. Revelation's the first chapter, Lord. We thank you that you have taken the keys of death and hell, Lord God, and we are now set free. We thank you tonight that we are set free from the enemy, any demonic oppression, any demonic attack. We have the blood of Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus tonight. And my prayer tonight, I pray every person here tonight, any kind of demonic attack, any kind of evil spirit, anything harassing, we speak tonight, we speak Jesus over them. We plead the blood of Jesus, a tidal wave of the blood of Jesus over every person in this church tonight, Lord God, that they are free in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that poverty is broken off of people tonight in the name of Jesus. Any kind of sickness or disease or any strange thing that's been trying to hinder people, that their bodies are made whole tonight. We just come against any demonic activity that has been trying to harass people in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we speak against anxiety and fear. Those spirits that try to harass people tonight, you are broken, and these people are free by the power of Jesus tonight, Lord God. Father, we thank you. We thank you just that there is favor, that every person in this church is the head and not the tail. Lord God, every person, we speak prosperity and promotion and the favor of God in the name of Jesus over every person. Lord, tonight we give you glory. We thank you, and we thank you that every person is going to be led by the Spirit in the name of Jesus, that there are ministering spirits sent forth for the heirs of salvation tonight, in the name of Jesus, that are working on our behalf. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for the glory of God and the peace and the joy that is our strength tonight, Lord God, that any harassing spirit would be broken off of people's lives and they would be free in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, everybody, have a great week. Hallelujah. And thank you for wishing me a 23rd birthday. Hallelujah.